2. The Strike and Spare Family Fun Center Studio. It's the Bill King Show.
He was like a god walking amongst mere mortals.
Go get it, dog.
I'm a man.
He had a voice that could make a Wolverine purr.
I just sitting on a firecracker.
And suits so fine, they made Sinatra look like a hobo.
It's a fantastic day
for the United States of America.
It's the Bill King Show.
Red 7!
I don't know what Red 7 means.
Brought to you by Omni Nashville Hotel. Fifth Avenue, downtown.
Hot Rock!
That's what we call a sack lunch.
They do have a very particular set of skills. Skills that make me a nightmare for people like you.
By the way, Mike, down in the Shoals, which is Muscle Shoals, Alabama, sent me a link. The SEC apparently yesterday put something out about this. I did not know that. And it's about the $3,000 a month per semester. Anyways, so apparently it is public, more public than I thought it was. Anyways, the bottom line is it's going to be SEC, at least for now, SEC only. Now, other leagues can adopt something similar, do whatever they want to do. They can change the number, do whatever they want to do. But that is out there anyways. Kevin Hagan with us every Friday. Kevin, last week during this slot, told everybody he was not satisfied with Alabama's performance to date this season. Florida game up 21-3 and things seemingly in hand. That's about what I thought would happen in that game. And then Alabama's hanging on to win the ball game there at the end. Kevin, tell us what's happening.
Good morning, Bill. Yeah, it was a very disappointing performance. Granted, they got out of Gainesville with a win. Kudos to the Florida Gators. Great game plan. The Florida crowd was awesome, very loud. Not a lot of college football teams would have gotten out of Gainesville with a win last Saturday out of the swamp, and Alabama did. But as Coach Saban says, it matters just as much how you win the game as the fact that you win the game. And there's a lot of glaring weaknesses that Alabama has to correct before next Saturday. And as you said, I mean, it was 21-3, and the game was kind of going as you hoped it would go as an Alabama fan. And then the second quarter happened, and Alabama had three outs in the second quarter, which is just, you can't do that when you go to the swamp. I mean, when you're up 21-3 and everything is going your way, the clock becomes your friend. And I don't mean you can't pass the ball. And on that first drive in the second half, Bryce got sacked, 6-yard loss, and a penalty for intentional grounding, which kind of set him back there, 2nd and 16. So that may have kind of gotten, a little bit into Bill O'Brien's head there and kind of forced him away from it. But to me, and Bill O'Brien would like to have drive number two back. Alabama still up 21-3. They 3-and-out Florida. 1st and 10 at the Bama 30. His first play, we run Jason McClellan up the middle for 5 yards. 2nd and 5, Bill, they should have run the ball again. Alabama, this is going to have to be a balanced offense this year. Okay, we don't have 4 first-round NFL draft pick wide receivers anymore. Okay, we're going to have a balanced offense. And next week, and I'll get to Ole Miss next week, and there's a lot to talk about there. Alabama's going to have to be able to run the ball and eat some clock next week, and that's what they should have done then. I don't know if I hope it's not a complete lack of faith in the running game from Bill O'Brien, but Alabama at that point should have been completely balanced, should have run the ball, taken some more air out of the clock. We didn't. That was 3-and-out. And the third one, we come out, third drive there in that second quarter, Brian Robinson got went for 1 yard, 2nd and 9. I don't know if at that point Bill O'Brien kind of panicked and thought 2nd and 9, I've got to go to the air. We're going to have to spend time against Southern Miss, Bill, establishing the run. And I know Saban's talked about the fact that Southern Miss's defense is number two in the nation against the rush. Well, okay, they played South Alabama, Grambling, and Troy. So kind of give me a freaking break here, okay? That has to be offense, and I'm not saying that doesn't need to work in the passing game. But, Bill, if Alabama's going to have the season that they think they're going to have on the offensive side of the ball, we're going to have to be able to establish the run, and Bill O'Brien's going to have to be able to accept the fact that we just can't throw the ball 75 times. Because if we do that, we're going to leave our defense out to hang, and oh my gosh, that side of the ball has so many issues. I mean, let's be honest. Last Saturday, Bill, Alabama couldn't have tackled anybody in a nursing home, okay? We had freelancing on the defensive line, horrendous gap control, and then the linebackers started doing their thing, so you have defensive linemen, you know, not controlling their gap. Linebackers aren't correctly fitting the run. A lot of players on that Alabama defense better hope that NFL general managers don't get a hold of that film. The secondary, DeMarcus Helms, Jordan Battle, atrocious games. Henry Tuoto, you know, at times he looked completely lost to me. Maybe it was the fact that, you know, he was trying to cover up because the defensive linemen weren't where they were supposed to be. I thought Christian Harris played a step slow on Saturday. I don't know that he was injured. And then, you know, all summer I talked to you about the fact that one of the strengths of this defense was going to be the fact that we were going to be deep. We're going to play a lot of guys. Well, that didn't happen. I mean, the majority of our defense played the entire 70 snaps. Will Anderson played 60 of the 70 snaps, mainly because he had to. And if you'd have told me he was going to play 60 snaps last Friday, I'd have laughed at you. His backup, Chris Braswell, played 11 snaps. So, I mean, we're going to have to establish more depth moving forward for our defense, but I mean, it's got to be a win-win. He's got to get some help. Bill O'Brien has got to help Pete Golding by having a balanced offense and establishing the run.
Couple of names here. McClellan at running back, to me, is their best running back easily, and then JoJo Earl, the young receiver. Will we see more of them?
Well, I hope so. You know, last week, last Friday, I was hoping that was happening. Here's the reality. As I said earlier, we don't have Jalen Waddle, Devontae Smith, Henry Ruggs, and Jerry D. We don't have those four studs on this team. It still can be an explosive offense. To date, Alabama has had, on offense, 13 explosive plays of more than 20 yards, but seven of those came against Mercer. Okay, so I subtract that. That's six. Last year, Bill, our offense had 96 explosive offensive plays. That's 7.3 a game. And you want to guess which team we had the most against? Ohio State. 8 explosive plays against Ohio State. So it's not the same explosive offense that it was, but it can be a balanced offense. And I agree with you, Bill. Jason McClellan is the bell cow. He needs to be carrying the ball. He needs to be the primary running back. And oh my goodness, please, JoJo Earl, can we please put JoJo Earl in, at wide receiver? I mean, he has 4 explosive plays. Granted, they were all against Mercer, but I mean, he leads our wide receiving corps in explosive plays. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure that out. And hopefully the fact that it looks like Julio Billingsley is out of the doghouse, that's going to be a great addition to help this offense, Bill.
Jeff, too, says, Bill, I'm sure Kevin knows this, but if you look at just the second half of Alabama's game so far, the score is 44-44.
Yep, 44-44 in the last two quarters. But I want to give a shout-out to a young man I've talked a lot about, and that's true freshman Robbie Oots from Rock Hill, South Carolina. He was a 3-star and had a lot of Alabama fans. Why did we sign him? And I told him, I said, coaches love him. Well, let me talk about him Saturday, Bill. He played in 8 snaps, 1 as a tight end, but he played in 7 snaps as the fullback. And at 2 of the most critical points of the game, when Bama was up in the third quarter 21-6, and it was 4th-and-1 at the Gator 3-yard line, and Brian Robinson ended up scoring. Who did Brian Robinson run behind? Robbie Oots. And then at the end of the game, when we were trying to run out a clock that we couldn't see because there was a quote-unquote clock failure, who was in for those key plays? Robbie Oots as a true freshman, and that's who Jason McClellan ran behind. That is tremendous trust from Nick Saban. Not only that the true freshman is going to come in there and make the block, also the fact that, you know, he didn't have to worry about a false start for him. Kudos to Robbie Oots playing in those critical situations as a true freshman in the swamp. Robbie Oots, welcome to big boy Bama football. You are no 3-star, buddy. You're a stud.
What's Nick Saban been like this week?
Nobody you'd want to have lunch with.
Right.
I mean, you wouldn't want to hang out and, you know, ask him how Miss Terry's doing and her latest shopping trips to Dallas or New Orleans. But, you know, he's been telling people all year that he hasn't been happy, you know, with the effort. And I talked last week, you know, he talks about it's the pain of discipline or the pain of disappointment. And he's been telling people it's your choice. Hey, every team gets to decide what your identity is going to be, and your identity decides what your outcome is. So, I mean, this isn't rocket science to him. And these issues, are they completely correctable? I think they're improvable. But I think these issues, you know, with the defense and the offense being balanced, but it's all up to them, Bill. And listen, Southern Miss tomorrow is the lab rat that Alabama needs. And they better go in there tomorrow and make these corrections, because I'm telling you, Bill, when Lane Kiffin pulls up that game film of the Florida game looking at our defense, he's going to feel like a homeless guy walking up to an all-you-can-eat buffet.
Royal Payne says, ask Kevin, Saban bristling at Trey Sanders' questions, but I do wonder, he says, if Trey is ready to make some explosive plays or he's really not fully back to where he was.
I think it's just like the other issues. When Alabama gets in tight situations and tight games like that with a raucous crowd, Saban tends to get really, really tight in the number of players that he plays. I don't think it was anything against Trey not being healthy, not trusting Trey. I just really think he felt really comfortable with Jace McClellan and Brian Robinson, but I really hope we get to see a lot of Trey Sanders, because Trey's healthy and Trey's an explosive player. More Trey Sanders on Saturday is good for me.
All things considered, and we're down to about 90 seconds or so, is the defensive side of the ball more of the worry?
Well, it is to me, because I'm a defensive guy and I sleep better at night when the defensive plays well. To me, it is. Got to get that fixed because this is an offense, as I mentioned. I mean, this is going to be a balanced offense, but, you know, last year we could just go out and outscore people. You know, when the defense struggled, it was like, okay, fine, we're just going to outshoot you. You didn't worry last year if it's 3rd and 10, 3rd and 15, whatever. We'll get that. That's not going to be the case with this offense. And I'm not saying we're back to the 2010 offense. So the defense is going to have to carry their side of the water here just because we're not going to have the ability to go out and do what we did last year on the offensive side of the ball. I think it's improvable, but as I said earlier, I think some of these defensive issues, unfortunately, we're going to carry all season long. But there again, I think getting more of these younger guys in the rotation on defense would help as well. You know, Pete Golding could not run and be elected governor of Alabama right now, I tell you that.
Kevin, always informative, sir. And, oh, by the way, I know you keep up, but all the news with Wayman is very, very good right now.
The Wayman news is phenomenal. As I said last week, it would be great if our players had the courage and drive that Wayman does. I want to ask everybody to please take a minute today. Go to GoFundMe.com, Wings for Wayman. Anything you can give would be greatly appreciated by this gentleman. Can't tell you how much respect and love I have for my brother Wayman.
Kevin, have a good weekend. We'll see you next Friday.
Roll Tide, everybody.
Always informative there. Here's what we will do. We'll get the break, and then Rusty will be with us. Rusty Manziel, 24/7 Sports. He's in town. George's playing Vanderbilt on Saturday. Then later, Hour 3, Brad will be with us. BradPowerSports.com. All the gambling, handicapping, wagering, all that kind of sinful stuff. We'll get into Hour 3. Omni Nashville Hotel.
Good morning. Still heavy traffic flow here on 24, trying to get past Harding Place from that earlier crash. Traffic's building in the normal spots down through Mount Juliet right now on I-40. All that traffic coming out of Wilson County, 109, working your way up towards the interstate. That's busy as well. Up in Sumner County, steady flow of traffic westbound on Vietnam Vets, headed towards the 65 interchange. Oktoberfest at Obergatlinburg starts today. It's going to be a gorgeous weekend. Check it out online at Obergatlinburg.com. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
George Plaster and Watson Brown to talk with you about a friend of ours, Jody Jones Dentistry. And Watson, we've both visited this beautiful new studio he has in the Music Row area. Man, it is spectacular.
It sure is. And I've known Jody George since he was a kid. His mom and dad, Doug and Lucy, are as good of friends as I have. It was an honor to coach Jody at Vanderbilt. And Jody was one of those tough guys, very smart, highly competitive, unbelievable work ethic. It does not surprise me that he's had a wonderful dentist practice as he does.
22 years worth, and it includes cosmetic dentistry, veneers, crowns, laser bleaching, and they have a hygiene department with microscope technology. If you want an appointment, you simply call them at 615-259-5100 or go on their website, JodyJonesDDS.com.
Radnor Wine and Spirits has been serving the greater South Nashville area since 1976. Locally owned and operated, we're here to help you celebrate anniversaries, birthdays, or anything you have to celebrate. We have a large selection of wine, spirits, and high-gravity beers that can fulfill any want you have. Visit us at 2635 8th Avenue South in Nashville or give us a follow on Instagram at RadnorLiquor615. Log on to the new website, RadnorWineAndSpirits.com. That's Radnor Wine and Spirits in Nashville.
Life is already full of surprises, but your tuition shouldn't be one of them. While education costs rise in the U.S. every year, University of Phoenix is committed to protecting you from rising tuition costs with our tuition guarantee. We lock in your tuition so you can count on fixed, affordable tuition from the moment you enroll to the day you graduate from your program. Learn more at phoenix.edu.
It's a Bill King Show.
Getting to the sodium pentothal time, which would be the games, because there's nothing that replaces the games. You can practice all you want. The truth serum is the game. Practice is very important to sharpen your craft, but it's not where you get graded. You get your report card from the stats in the ball game.
Weekday mornings beginning at 6 on Sports Radio 560 on 95.9 FM.
America's first home for college football talk is the Bill King Show.
Rusty Mansell, remember. Town Georgia Vanderbilt game on Saturday. Heck, seems like yesterday Rusty was in town. We were over at the Omni. We were eating some brisket biscuits and talking some ball. A couple of years later, here we are again. Morning, Rusty. How you doing, sir?
Oh, man, I'd kill for some of those brisket biscuits right now.
I would, too. I know you didn't. You said you weren't able to get by the Lipscomb game. Lipscomb
no.
And Oakland might be the two best teams in the state, and what Trent Dilfer has done over Lipscomb.
Sure.
The Broom kids committed to Boston College. They're running back. Jordan James is committed to Georgia. The receiver on Oakland's team is committed to Miami. Plenty of players. I'll tell you what, I know you have to drive through the borough, Rusty, to get here. That area is loaded with players.
The trend's been picking up a couple of years there. And, you know, first thing I heard about Lipscomb, they beat Greater Atlanta Christian, who, by the way, Davis Mills from Greater Atlanta Christian had his first start last night for the Houston Texans at quarterback. But, man, they beat Greater Atlanta Christian, who's a really, really good program in Georgia. I think they beat them like 70-7, which I'm like, oh, my goodness.
They're loaded.
You know, they are absolutely loaded. So, yeah, you know, you see the boom in Nashville and Middle Tennessee and all that, and that's really good for the state of Tennessee. And, I mean, you look at Tennessee Volunteers and all these programs in Vanderbilt to have just more players. You know, it doesn't have the numbers – the state of Georgia obviously has, but you look at the D1 prospects, the numbers have exploded, particularly out of this area.
Heck, the number one ranked player in America, the class of 22. Now, I don't know if it's on the composite or not, but it's the defensive lineman who moved to Knoxville from Memphis. So It's amazing.
Walter Nolan, sure.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, he's a really good player. I saw him this summer, and there's only few guys that that big that can move that well, and you only have about two or three of those per class. Got a kid named Bear Alexander out of Texas who just transferred to IMG. You look at what Georgia does, how big it is with somebody like Jordan Davis, Alabama with those guys. I mean, there's only so many of those big body guys that can bend and move at that size. Walter Nolan is absolutely as good as advertised. I saw him at Under Armour camp. I saw him at another camp, and this guy is an absolute freak.
Rusty Manziel with us, Georgia Vanderbilt game. Is this Georgia's best defense to date? Let's say under the Kirby Smart era.
No question. The front seven is, you look at Trayvon Walker, you look at Jordan Davis, you look at Jalen Carter. I mean, these guys, they're just so big and athletic up front. I was thinking about this driving initially. I remember sitting in the call and Barton Simmons a couple years ago was just raving on Trayvon Walker, like, guys, this guy, you know, he's a two-sport athlete, he's an AAU basketball player, he's 6'5", he's a freak show as well. And I just remember thinking, man, Barton's going to stand on that sideline tomorrow and realize that he ranked all these guys, he's watched all these guys, and now he's having to, you know, kind of compete against them, you know, for Vanderbilt. And Georgia's front seven, the Kobe Dean, Quay Walker, I mean, all Channing Tindall. You know, the question is, how good is Georgia's secondary? You know, Bill, I really don't know, because the problem right now is you don't have time enough to throw the ball. South Carolina took some shots, and they won some 50-50 balls. I mean, you look at South Carolina's game plan against Georgia. They tried to run first, second down. It wasn't happening at all. Well, third down, they just took some shots. Well, three passes, they completed over 30 yards. So, you know, for Georgia, that's kind of concerning a little bit down the line. But as far as Georgia's defense and original question, I don't know, Bill. As long as I've watched Georgia football, I don't know that I've seen a better defense than what Kirby Smart's trotting out right now.
And again, Jordan Davis. Now, whew. I come from the late 70s and 80s where it was almost impossible to get defensive linemen. They just weren't available. You didn't have the numbers you have today. And, of course, Reggie White. I remember the very first one Tennessee got was Reggie White, who's probably the best one who ever lived. But Jordan Davis is listed. Now, I remember when if you had a D lineman who was legit now, not just a guy you put over there to clog up space, it was 300, that was big. This kid's listed at 6'6", 360.
Yeah, he's
that's obscene.
He's every bit of 350-ish. I think they try to keep him around 350, 355. You know, talking to some people in that building, you know, that I guess Kirby kind of gave up and said, look, the kid can play at 350. You know, he didn't want it. The nutrition staff, they wanted to get him down to 340. And, you know, I saw him last week again. I saw him this summer. I played in the David Pollack golf tournament. And I watched people that see him for the first time. I kind of stood behind him. He was actually playing with the Kobe Dean and a group in front of me. And we were all parked right there, our golf carts, as people. And I watched people walk up to him, and it's like you don't realize how big a human being that is until you see him. And then last week I was on the sidelines shooting some pictures. Obviously, the Arch Manning in town, that was enough to get me to the sideline, take some pictures. But when you see him in person in pads, I mean, Bill, I've done this for a long time now, and he's one of those jaw droppers. You don't realize how big he is. And then you see how fast he is and his ability to bend. So with Georgia, you know, for years, Georgia's tried to really replace Roquan Smith, and they've got some really, really good players. They haven't replaced Roquan Smith. So with Jordan Davis, I'll tell Georgia fans, you better appreciate this one, because there's not another one like this one for a while. So, you know, everything that how he makes Georgia go from the inside and what he enables people behind him to do, because he commands double teams. Every single snap Jordan Davis is double teamed in college football, and that helps everybody else around you.
Not only that, but if you do have a kid that size, 99 times out of 100, he's on the offensive line. He can't play. He's not athletic enough.
Sure, yeah, be a left tackle, but
right,
yeah, he can bend. You know, that's the crazy thing is he can bend. You know, going back and look at his, you know, everybody I think had him a 3-star, and you know there was concerns about weight and what could he do, and you know, just ankle flexibility and the ability to bend. You know, I haven't seen many people that can do that. And I feel pretty certain that had he made the move to offensive tackle, say his freshman year at Georgia, he would be a really good offensive prospect right now. But what he does defensively,
right,
just is picture perfect for Georgia, because he clogs that middle up. He's able to penetrate, cause problems, and then he lets N'Kobe Dean and Quay Walker and those guys behind him run free, and that's good news for Georgia.
Rusty Manziel, 24/7 Sports in town for the Georgia Vanderbilt game. You brought it up, so I'll ask.
Sure.
Mr. Manning, Mr. Arch Manning, anything new there?
You know, I tell you what's new, Bill, and you've been doing this longer than I have. I've never seen a kid get that much TV coverage, you know, and that's kind of unprecedented. So now, so he gets all the TV coverage on a Georgia visit. The kid's just sitting there like everybody else. You know, he's not asking for this. He's taking a visit. So, you know, now next week he goes to Alabama and Ole Miss. How do you up that? You know, what do you do? What's the Alabama student section do? I mean, now it's going to be, you know, what do we do to get Arch and those type of things? And from everything I have heard, and you would not expect anything less from a family like that, they're being very guarded with him. This kid's not he's not an ego kid. He's just trying to play football and be a good teammate. So, you know, kind of the behind the scenes, and listen, I've never talked to Arch Manning. It's kind of rare for me to, you know, cover a kid, and that's just kind of the way they're doing it. That's no problem. I have no problem with that. But kind of the early buzz from what I gather is Texas and Georgia are two teams that really have their attention. Doesn't mean they're on top. Doesn't mean that's where he's going. But those two teams have done a really good job early on. Let me just say that. So, obviously, the Ole Miss ties. Alabama's certainly going to be in there for anybody. Tennessee with Peyton. You know, I want to see how they get involved if they do. But right now, kind of a little bit of small buzz behind the scenes is Texas and Georgia. And I've heard that from several different circles pretty close to this Manning family. So we'll see how it plays out. Long way to go. But last week, you know, watching that game on replay, I'm thinking, man, I don't know, Bill, that I've seen a junior prospect get that much TV time. So I'm wondering now how all these visits will go for him this fall.
Well, and it's because of his last name. That's
no
what
doubt.
Gets it.
No doubt. He's a good player now. Don't.
Yeah.
If he was Arch Thompson, he would be highly recruited. Let me make that really clear. Now, this guy's a really, really good player. He's going to have a lot on him, man, with that last name. And certainly that's great bloodlines. And you know, them uncles are damn good football players. So, dad as well before the injury. So, you just look at him, and I just wonder, like, man, where is this going with Arch Manning? What kind of NIL deals, are going to be? I mean, Arch Manning doesn't need the NIL deal, but Arch Manning is going to set the bar as high as any football player ever has when he steps into college, because I'm telling you, man, his markability is going to be insane.
I know what the public answer would be to this question, but when I look at Georgia and I see Carson Beck waiting, and I see Brock Vandegrift waiting, and I see Gunnar Stockton on his way in,
sure,
I wonder what the true answer to the question would be. Is that a problem if you're Arch Manning? That's a busy room right there now.
Yeah, and without the transfer portal a couple years ago, I would think like Georgia's not a very attractive place. But man, that quarterback room can change in a heartbeat.
In a second.
I mean, it can be really. You could be sitting here right now, and then next August, it looked completely different. So it's different. You know, all this stuff, we're all learning now how this stuff works with NIL, transfer portal, all these kind of things. But the quarterback room is, you know, I look at Ohio State, how is that going to play out? I mean, they're loaded with guys up there. And then, oh, by the way, you know, bring in Quinn Ewers a year early. So how is all that going to work out? And those things are going to be answered in time. But the thing I think with Arch Manning is kind of similar to Gunnar Stockton. When I talk to Gunnar, Gunnar knows he's walking into a room, but some of these guys' mentality is, listen, I'm going to have to compete anywhere I go. So I'm going to go in and I'm going to give it my shot and see if I can win this thing. And, Arch Manning certainly cut from that. Now, there's going to, you know, you want to walk into a room with four or five guys, but I think when you look at a 2023 guy, the room can change so much between now and then. I think you really have to find out what schools are fits and then find out, you know, how things are, how things play out down the line.
Couple questions here on Twitter. America 1970 over in Columbus, Georgia. Bill, ask Rusty how Georgia Tech is doing in recruiting.
You know, they're doing good. I think this is such a big year because, you know, Coach Collins has brought in a really good recruiting class, but he's brought in really good transfers. So last week that Clemson game, you look at that, and still, you know, people. Obviously, Georgia fans come to me and say, hey, look, man, Georgia Tech is terrible. I'm like, no, it was still a complete overhaul. So, that you know, this is a year you want to see them make a turn, and they're doing a really good job recruiting in-state. I see Georgia Tech involved with a lot more guys and winning a lot more guys. But, you know, you get guys like Jahmyr Gibbs and those type of players, Kenyatta Watson Jr. coming from Texas over to Georgia Tech. Those are Kevin Harris from Alabama. I mean, right now, recruiting is going definitely trending up, but it's the transfers that you hope pay off because they did. They were real, real heavy in that market. So, big week. This North Carolina game interests me for Georgia Tech. This is coming off a really good performance against Clemson, a lot closer than people thought. They were 28-point underdogs. So, you know, this is the time. This is a big season for Jeff Collins in recruiting to say, hey, listen, this is our team now. This is our roster. We're moving in the right direction.
Rusty, we're down to about 1 minute, 60 seconds. West Coast Sooners in Los Angeles.
Yes.
Wants to know what you think about East St. Louis, Illinois wide receiver, five-star Luther Burden, and is he a Georgia lock?
I don't know if he's a Georgia lock, but Georgia's done a really, really good job there. And this is a guy, you know, if I had to crystal ball him this morning, I would probably go Georgia on that. I think Georgia's done a really good job there. I don't think that's a lock by any means, but Missouri definitely involved there. Very close team, obviously. So this is a guy that Georgia's really, really, really locked in on trying to get. He's a game-changing wide receiver, and Georgia fans know how many of those they need right now, and that's a room that Luther Burden would be tremendous help in. And what he did in some of these games early in the year, very, very impressive. And I think right now I would crystal ball him to Georgia. But definitely nothing, you know, definite concrete on my side. But to answer his question out in Los Angeles, I would say Georgia as of right now.
Rusty, we'll let you go. I hope you take note. I did not ask you one question about the Vanderbilt game because we need not go there.
Bill, you've been doing it a long time, my man.
Thanks, Rusty. We'll see you later, bud.
All right, buddy.
Always good. Rusty is so good. Wow. Anyways, top of the hour, about 20 minutes, 25 minutes from now, we have Mr. Brad Powers. BradPowersSports.com will be with us, and anything that you have regarding questions, gambling, wagering, anything that involves sin, if you have any questions there, that's hour three. Ten Commandments, just filth. That's hour three. Not that I'm into all that stuff, but this is for you folks. Hour three coming up. Omni Nashville Hotel.
Well, I'm Greg Pogue, and welcome to the OVC Football Weekly Spotlight presented by Delta Dental of Tennessee. Keep your health care costs low and your health at an all-time high with the power of preventive dental and vision plans from Delta Dental of Tennessee. Choose your health first. Choose Delta Dental. OVC begins conference play Saturday with two games, Tennessee State at Southeast Missouri and Eastern Illinois at Tennessee Tech, involving league teams. TSU kicker Antonio Zita made two field goals in the win over Kentucky State in the John Merritt Classic to increase his career total to 50. fourth highest in OVC history, and 9 behind the overall record. UT Martin head coach Jason Simpson won his 92nd game on Saturday with his team's win at Northwestern State. That moved him into 5th place on the OVC career wins list. UTM running back Peyton Logans this week co-offensive player of the week after gaining a career-high 179 yards was overall winner last week and is averaging 10.03 yards per carry, 4th best nationally. Joining Logan as co-offensive player of the week was Austin Peay quarterback Draylen Ellis, while defensive co-players of the week were Austin Peay linebacker Jack McDonald and UT Martin linebacker John Ford. SEMO punter Zach Haynes, who averaged 46 yards per punt with a long of 62, was top specialist, while TSU tight end Rodell Raymond was top newcomer with 2 TD catches and a blocked punt. All 4 games involving OVC teams Saturday can be viewed on ESPN+, including Eastern Illinois at Tennessee Tech at 1:30, TSU at SEMO at 2, number 19 Austin Peay at Eastern Kentucky also at 2, and UT Martin at number 10 Jacksonville State at 3. Follow the league on your favorite social media platforms at OVC Sports. You won't believe it until you OVC it. This has been the OVC Football Weekly Spotlight presented by Delta Dental of Tennessee. Choose your health first. Choose Delta Dental. I'm Greg Pogue wishing everybody a great weekend of OVC football.
Get the ultimate mouth guard with affordable coverage from Delta Dental of Tennessee. Offering a large network of dentists and a variety of plans, you'll get better coverage than a defensive secondary. Learn more at DeltaDentalTN.com.
What happens to your decision-making when you drink? Well, after one drink, you feel confident. A few more, and calling your ex at 1 a.m. seems like a great idea. And you're pretty sure the secret to a great taco is 4-day-old macaroni. The bottom line, drunk you doesn't make great decisions. So you're risking a DUI or worse if you count on him to get you home. Plan before you party. Get home safe. Paid for by the Tennessee Highway Safety Office.
We can see your smile, and we think you should be able to see it too. With Delta Dental of Tennessee and Delta Vision, we can improve your overall well-being by keeping your teeth and eyes healthy. Visit DeltaDentalTN.com to find an affordable plan.
Gives you a wide latitude on topics because Bill King isn't afraid of your telephonic interaction. 615-844-5600.
Talking earlier with Rod in Cypress, Texas. His daughter swims at Arkansas. She's a freshman. And he said that he'll fly over, it's a 10-hour drive, I guess, but he'll fly over, drive over, and watch her swim for a couple of minutes and then back. So it's a 20-hour round-tripper just to watch his daughter for a minute or two in swimming, which, obviously, that's your kid. You want to be with them, you want to see them, etc. Irish Bill down on the coast, Emerald Coast of Destin and Fort Walton Beach, etc., Navarre says, Bill, speaking of that, my son, he says, played D2 football at Shorter College and also at Miles, Shorter University and Miles College. Said, I went to all 45 of his games, over 30,000 miles put on the car, and that's after I broadcast the high school football games on Friday nights down here. Wow. That is doing it, man. And I complain about 4 hours to Atlanta for my kids. I'll tell you the craziest thing I ever did. We were down in Atlanta doing the show from the Final Four. This was 06-07. And it was when Florida was winning their back-to-back basketball natties. And my kids were on, I guess it was an 8U baseball team. Now, again, 8U. 8U baseball team. And I was one of the flunky assistants on the baseball team. I was just one of those low-life assistant dads, right? I drove back from Atlanta. In the middle of being there, now, you know, I would do the show. but drove back just to be part of a practice. Practice, y'all. Okay? Did the practice for an hour and a half, whatever it was, drove straight back to Atlanta. So I'd be ready. I came back for a 8U practice. Now, that is the height of dumbness. I did it, though. I don't know if I'm proud of that or not. You know, to be with my boys. Now, again, I don't regret it. I don't remember it being a big pain in the neck. But Atlanta, from me to Atlanta, is exactly 4 hours. It's 4 hours. I don't care if you're speeding. I don't care what you're doing. If you're driving it, you got to go up over Mount Eagle Mountain and through Chattanooga and through Dalton and all that, through Marietta. It's 4 hours. We were staying in a hotel downtown, and we would do the show every morning from the Final Four area. And we were there for I don't know how many days, about 4 or 5 days. But I came back for a random, meaningless practice and turned around and then went back to Georgia. That's about the craziest thing I ever did. Who we have here? I think we've got a couple of minutes. Alec Whipple, Bob, welcome in, sir.
Hey, Bill, how are you? Actually, I got so wrapped up in your conversation, I forgot why I was calling, and that's the height of dumbness. Hey, Bill, a couple of things. First off, you know, let me thank everybody for donating to Wayman, and I just want to let you folks know how that money is being spent. We are getting ready right now. We're starting to posture to pay a $475 medical bill, one of the first medical bills Wayman has. So that money is going to be used for his medical expenses, and I want to thank everybody for your generosity because it's allowing us to do that. But, hey, Bill, you know, you were talking about Notre Dame and Wisconsin, and I was thinking about Wisconsin, you know, how Jim Leonard attacked Penn State. You know, he used a lot of stunting with his blitzes, a lot of different blitz schemes and such. And you're talking about Notre Dame's offensive line having problems, you know, pass protecting. You know, what he did to Penn State was he would delay a linebacker blitz or a safety blitz, bring him late once the hole opened up in the offensive line. And I think this could be a key to the game. If they can't pick those up, Notre Dame, they can't pick up those Wisconsin blitzes, man, this could get ugly. What do you think about that, Bill?
Well, considering it got ugly against Toledo, which doesn't have Wisconsin personnel, it's a big concern. Particularly I'd say any position on the offensive line, but the tackles just got brutalized, even in the Purdue game. They got if they didn't get out-athleted, they got bull-rushed into the quarterback, meaning the tackle would hit Jack Cohn before the defensive end could grab him. And it happened repeatedly in that game. So now I think Notre Dame's got as good a talent as Wisconsin. It may not be as experienced, et cetera, but I think it's going to be probably a tough day.
Well, I think Notre Dame's offensive coordinator is going to have to keep Jim Leonard off balance.
That'd be Tommy.
He can't
Reese.
Let himself get in. Bill?
Yeah, that's Tommy Reese. Bill? I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah, Tommy Reese, yeah. He's going to have to keep him off balance. He can't allow himself to consistently get into, you know, second and sevens and third and eights, third and tens, you know. Because I think Wisconsin will control the game. Because Yurcich did a nice job. He went in at halftime, made adjustments, and they came out. And Penn State pretty much took over that game offensively. But, you know, the other game I'm looking forward to seeing, Bill, is I haven't seen each of these two teams yet. Is Arkansas and Texas A&M, and I really didn't get to see Arkansas play much last year either. What kind of systems Arkansas running? I mean, they run a pro style offense. I mean, or they like the old Burt offense where they're just pounding you straight ahead.
They have a 6'4", 245-pound quarterback who can hurt you physically running the ball, and they're good in the running game. They're decent in the passing game. It's a physical line of scrimmage team. That game is going to be another phone booth game. For sure.
Should be a good one, Bill. Hey, yep. It was nice hearing Rod's voice. He needs to call more often, buddy.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
I'll see you, Bill. Have a good weekend.
There's Alec Whipple, Bob. Top of the hour, we'll go to Brad. Omni, Nashville, Hotel.
Good morning. It's just now starting to get a little bit heavy here on 65 southbound at Trinity Lane. Still a lot of traffic making its way in from Hickman County down through Dixon County as well on the interstate. In the last hour or so, we've seen more radar out here than we have interstate accidents. Hey, Gatlinburg Wine Cellar, home of the world-famous cotton candy wine. Check them out at GatlinburgWineCellar.com. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
My buddy James Warren from Sir Speedy of Music City is with us. I was looking for a way a while back to get targeted messages to people who might be interested in listening to our daily show, and so I asked James for a little help. You take it from there.
So what we were able to do is come up with 7,000 names of people in Nashville and their addresses by zip code that are interested in spectator sports, football, baseball, that sort of thing. It was a pretty reasonable price too, wasn't it, George?
Yes, it was. I got the BGA discount.
Yeah, so in other words, twice the normal. This is something that we do for all sorts of folks. We can sort it by zip code, by type of people, age, whatever, to make it get to the people that you want to get to. If you've got a new business, no better way to do it.
Sir Speedy of Music City, phone number 832-9511, or go to SirSpeedyMusicCity.com.
I'm Bart Durham. I cut my teeth in the legal profession for 3 years as an assistant United States District Attorney. 10 years as a prosecutor changed my view of the law and how it can be used to make people's lives better. I started my own practice, helping injured people fight insurance companies.
I'm Blair Durham. My dad and I want to help. Give us a call at 615-242-9000.
What can give you a competitive edge in today's red-hot housing market? Rocket can. That's because Rocket Mortgage can give you a verified approval. It could help your offer stand out. Rocket Technology provides a rock-solid verification of your income, assets, and credit, giving sellers greater confidence in you. Go to rocketmortgage.com or call us today at 8338-ROCKET.
A verified approval is based on an underwriter's analysis of your individual financial information, appraisal, and title report. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing matter license in all 50 states and MLS ConsumerAccess.org, number 3030.
Get all your NASCAR news every weekday right here on the Final Lap. Hey, it's Kerry Murphy, and what a weekend at Bristol Motor Speedway. Everybody talking about Kevin Harvick and Chase Elliott in the garage area arguing, but it was Kyle Larson with a checkered flag. Up next is Las Vegas Motor Speedway. So grab all the latest NASCAR news, race recaps, driver interviews, stats, and info every single weekday right here.
Hi, this is Kyle Larson, and you're listening to The Final Lap with Kerry Murphy.
We're doing video now. Check us out at youtube.com/TheFinalLap every single weekday right here.
Nobody knows more about college football history than Bill King.
Josh up in London, Ohio. Bill, Tommy Rees can't even get a cab driver off balance. Wisconsin by a million in that game. Now, you may be saying, Bill, what in the heck does that mean? Tommy Rees, when he was at Notre Dame, now he's the current offensive coordinator. I don't even think Tommy Rees is 30 yet. But back about 10 years ago or so, Tommy Rees, a young quarterback at Notre Dame, I don't believe he was playing much yet. It was a Thursday night, best I remember, and this is about 10 years ago, and there's a party just off campus that's just got everybody boozing it up, and you got the guys, you got the girls. It's a college party. You all know what that entails. Lots of booze, probably some devil's lettuce, guys and girls and music and just everybody having a time, right? Well, the police get calls complaining about the noise and the ruckus and all that, so they go to the party. And people start fleeing. Tommy Rees and also linebacker Carlo Calabrese back then. And I remember Carlo because his dad called the show a couple of times back then. Anyways, Yeah, his dad. His dad had called the show a couple of times. Anyways, they take off running. And I don't know what happened to Carlo Calabrese, but Tommy Rees is eluding the cops. Jumped a fence of some sort, running away. A cab driver, and that's what Josh was just talking about, pulled out, I guess saw this, pulled out to block Rees. And actually got out and grabbed him. Anyways, Rees ended up kneeing one of the cops, knocking the breath out of him, and he gets arrested. And he, I don't remember, he spent the night in jail, and Notre Dame did whatever they do, their private disciplinary thing that they do. But that was it. Tommy Rees actually had a pretty good career at Notre Dame, all things considered. But that's what Josh is talking about. Tommy Rees, Bill, and I say that because that's the way Brent Musburger. If you ever saw those broadcasts back then, Musburger be doing them. I like Brent Musburger. He's a very good broadcaster. But he would say, not Tommy Rees, but Tommy Rees. That's just how he said it. He would elongate the word for 5 seconds, it felt like. So Josh saying, Bill, Tommy Rees can't even get a cab driver off balance. Wisconsin by a million. That's what he's referring to. So you folks, sometimes I have to give you the backstory to make it make sense. And that's what I just did. West Coast Sooner. Bill, thanks for asking Rusty about that wide receiver. He says, I'm sad that he decommitted from OU, and he's a five-star. Yeah, Georgia might be the leader in the clubhouse for him right now. Julia down in Atlanta. Bill, good dads do what you did for your kids going back to Atlanta. Well, yeah, and you got to remember, those are my first two of seven. And that was just a couple of years into Little League ball, and I was all happy and giddy. After years of doing it, I don't know. Let me just admit something. I don't know if I would have done it. Now, my younger three boys who are now in high school, they opted out of baseball early. They didn't like it. It's too boring. A lot of standing around. It didn't bother me one bit. That all good. I don't know if today I would do the same. I'm sorry. I know that sounds bad. For a random practice. I was the flunky assistant. What was my job responsibilities? Base running. I was the base running flunky dad. That's what I was. On that staff. On that not so well paid staff. Brad's coming up. I tell you what, go ahead and post your questions. Yeah, we're just a couple of minutes away from the top of the hour. BradPowerSports.com. Any handicapping questions you have, post them on Twitter at BillisKing. Use the hashtag AskBP. That's Brad Powers. AskBP. And I will verbally forward those to Mr. Powers on air. If you do not get his newsletter, I would suggest you do. Go to BradPowerSports.com, top of the page, and there's a Bill King tab. My name, me, right? My name, click that tab, that'll get you to it. That'll get you to where you can order his newsletter. I would do it. I get it in the mail, the email, every week. I know Rob, lots of you folks do. And my son, who's in dental school, yep, Josh was asking about this yesterday during all those laborious classes that he has to do all day long. It's brutal what they put him through. Sending me texts. When are you going to send me, Dad, Brad's newsletter? I'm serious. No, I'm not making this up. Billy the Third is sitting up there at Louisville in dental school. Probably working on a cadaver. I don't even know what they're doing. And sending me text messages during a lecture. I need the newsletter, Dad. Where is it? No, he's doing good. No. He's not flunking out. He's doing well. But he wants that newsletter. he wants to know what Brad thinks about all this stuff. We'll take the break and come right back with all your questions. Hour 3, it's already Friday. Omni Nashville Hotel.